Welcome to Ultras 11 Podcast. I'm Alex Amato.
And I'm Joe Genova, bringing you the 12th man's perspective on everything football.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's match day.
Welcome back to another episode of Ultras 11 Podcast. Today, we're joined by our own Chelsea analyst, Julian Rosati. Round of applause for Julian. All right, the button didn't work. Okay.
It's okay. Almost, Joe. Almost.
But yeah, Julian, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming.
Yep, first official guest.
How's it going today?
Happy to be here with the boys. I'm doing great, man. Just first time doing something like this.
Never excited? Been on a podcast.
No, oh, it's kind of strange, but...
Hey. It's new to all of us.
We move.
But we move from here. So Joe.
So we're going to get it. We're going to get into it. We're going to get into it right away.
What are we getting into? What controversy you got today?
We got a lot to actually talk about in that regard. But we'll take it slowly. Let's talk about the weekend's fixtures, you know? Let's talk about that. What went on? We're just not going to go over every single fixture like we did last time because that took up literally 30 minutes and not many people really care about teams.
Yeah, like no one cares about what happened between Leeds and Norwich.
Actually, I did, but it's okay.
Well, it was 2-1 for Leeds, so.
Thank you.
They celebrated, they won.
Yeah. If you were wondering. If you're
against last place Norwich.
But. Hey, Leeds is fighting.
Wins a win, am I right?
We don't talk about it.
That's true. All right. So what league are we going to start off with first?
Start off with the Prem today.
Start off with the Prem, all right. So big game there, Man U Spurs.
Did you watch that game?
I did. And I feel like Ronaldo saw our last podcast, even though he really didn't.
He definitely heard the button.
He listened to me chirp him and say, just give it up.
Yeah. And decided,
no.
He took it personal.
Hold on. Yeah.
He definitely took it personal.
I got Michael Jordan by Cristiano Ronaldo. And now I'm the laughingstock of the community.
Yeah. So, yeah, he just went on a complete rampage last game and just proved to everybody that he's not finished.
And I still think he's finished.
Man. He's still finished. 100%.
I still think that first goal that Lloris absurd could have had that.
I agree.
Any other goal.
It was literally right. It's not like it was perfectly placed. It was literally when you see it in slow reacted, motion. Like, yeah. You see it in slow motion. Reactions. You see his hand is right there. He's old too though, Lloris. He's not even world class like he was.
No, but okay. But at the end of the day, there was a lot of criticism to Ronaldo the last past week before leading to the game. And like he shut up a lot of people after that game. Obviously, you know, his time, you watch him play, you can, like, he can't do it every game. He's not going to be able to bring that kind of, that effort and that tenacity every game.
Well, but Ralf Rangnick even came out after the game and said, maybe this is what we have to do with him. You know, let him train one day.
Send him to Portugal for 3 days.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's a good message to send to the rest
of the team. So if you're a superstar, you heard it here first, you could just travel.
Yeah, but his, you're good. His, do what prob- you want. His problem yeah. is,
who cares?
He wants to play every game. That's his problem.
Well, I mean.
He's not that guy.
I know he's not. He has to realize that.
Well, I mean Ralf kind of gave him permission to be that guy. Did he not start today in the Champions League game? That meant a lot.
Yeah, but
for
that
Man
was
U?
that apparently. So I read it was the only reason he started today was because the training session before today's game, today's game he only started because of last game on the weekend. But the game on the weekend apparently. So when he came back from that vacation or whatever he took,
he was revitalized.
Yeah, at first Ralf said, like, you know, he wasn't going to start because the time off, the break. But then at practice, he was just lighting it up, and he was looking good. So they said, you know what, we'll start him. And
he popped in
three goals.
He probably cried. He got his agent involved, some publicity,
and got what he wanted.
I deserve
probably
more than this.
Paid Lodi and said, yo, I'm gonna hit a couple shots on net today. You better just let them slide right in. Pogba called him the favor.
That's what you get with Tottenham, though, man. Yeah. They're either
very
beating Man City and or getting an obliterated.
Yeah,
by
you'll watch United them. You'll watch them 1 week, and they're pumping Man City, they're pumping Liverpool, and then the next week they're losing to Burnley, they're losing to Man U, and
most inconsistent team.
Yeah, well, that's what I said last episode. Spurs, literally their biggest opponent is themselves every single game. It's not who they're going up against actually. Like whoever they go up against, they have the ability to beat all of them. They just they're inconsistent. Yeah, they end up playing against themselves and then rely on Harry Kane or Son to do something special, and neither of which could perform.
And I really thought that was going to change with Conte coming in.
I mean, but he did just come in, though, man. Obviously, he needs some time.
He has to have, like, a proper transfer window.
Harry Kane, if he, like, I think them selling him and trying to bring in someone else, I think will be better.
See, I don't think he leaves, though, because he's saying how good, how happy he's with Conte.
I know.
Conte's saying he's the center of the project. Yeah. So
I do think he's more, he feels more important now, and maybe feels that he, like, he can actually win something with Conte. But,
and, like, realistically, where does he go now? Like, if City's,
that's the thing. If City buys someone else, his options are very limited.
Yeah, because no one's going to spend that on,
well,
an aging Harry Kane.
Yeah.
I'm going to just jump into a topic right now. Saying that whole, who does Conte get, whatever, he likes Harry Kane, this, that, and whatever, with the controversy that's surrounding Chelsea, actually, everyone's saying all these players are linked to leave, all these players are destined to go, Thomas Tuchel is going to Man U, according to Jamie Carragher. You know, so, like,
Kai Havertz is going to Liverpool.
You know, Lukaku would love to be reunited with Conte again because blah, blah, blah.
But then also
blah,
go
blah,
back
blah,
to
blah,
Inter.
Blah, blah, blah.
City wants Reece James.
Yeah, so they're going to, like, pick the par, right?
Yeah, so.
So on that topic, Julian.
Armageddon over there.
What the heck is going on in Chelsea right
dark,
now?
Dark days for us right now, man. I don't know. Everyone just sees us, the downfall that we're going through, and they're just trying to nitpick at us, you know? I mean, a couple guys have said that they're going to play without wages.
Yeah, like I saw that.
Yeah, so I think it was Mason Mount, Conte, Reece James, Loftus-Cheek. So it's like a bunch of the academy guys.
I was going to say a bunch of them.
They're fine without getting paid. And then a couple guys have come out and said they'll help pay for any travel that they may have to go through. Yeah. So
you love seeing that, too. Like, seeing the players, like, saying that, like, you know, like, they'll cover, like,
the camaraderie
for the bus.
Just,
yeah.
And I think that all starts with Tuchel because
He's given a lot of character to this team, and he's been amazing handling this whole situation. Like, a lot of coaches, they would not know how to handle this situation the team's going through.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And every interview you hear and anything you hear him talking about, the situation's going, he handles it perfectly.
Yeah,
says what he needs to say, and that's it. Doesn't say too much, doesn't say too little.
And you all hear all these pundits and these other coaches saying that, like, he's been, like, they like him even more now. How he's handled it. It's been amazing.
He handled it perfect. I'm telling you, like, a lot of coaches, they would have cracked. They would have said, like, the classic, like, oh, I just want to talk football. Yeah, I don't want to get into it. But, you know, he said it perfectly.
No, I think the way, like, this, the way they're handling it as a club, like, the players, the staff, everything it's perfect.
They're doing what they can. Like,
to the best of their abilities. They're genuinely making light of the situation, with Tuchel's comments. Like, in every press conference, there's always a new joke that he makes. You know, he'll rent a 7-seater bus if it's not possible. Like, he's making light of the situation.
Yeah. But he's saying it. Like, hey, they'll do whatever it takes to go to every game and to not make it, like, you know, anything happen or, like, miss out games or forfeit games because at the end of the day, they still want to play. They're still a team.
They still want to remain competitive and, like, rightfully so. They have the team to do it. They have everything 100%. To do it, obviously. So, like,
they have all the tools.
And again, it's terrible that these players and the staff, the coach, everything, they're all getting punished because of what's going on in Russia and Ukraine. And again, I get it. Like, war, it's a serious thing. I wanted it to happen to anyone, but, like,
yeah, I just kind of think it's a double standard, though, because you have, like, Newcastle and City with their Saudi owners, and, like, there's a genocide going on in Yemen. There's just the other day, the 81, what's the word? It's not assassination.
Slaughtered? Murdered?
There was, like, 81 murders. Genocide. Something like that, okay? There's an 81, like, murders or something in Saudi Arabia.
Okay.
Eddie Howe was asked about, is you guys want to talk football?
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, just because this whole Russia-Ukraine is obviously the main topic in the whole world right now.
That's why it's just
like, okay, you know what, we got to join society and the world in taking all these actions against Russia. Yeah. You see everybody else trying to force Russia out of doing any business around the world. So, that's just the thing to do right now. So, they're just trying to get Roman out of the UK. Which, I mean, I agree with. Don't want him doing business in the UK. That's fine.
But why?
But just the situation could have been handled a lot.
It could have. I get it, but you want to force him out, you know, don't do business because of his ties with Putin or whatever. Okay, that's fine. But you don't cap the club at 20K limit spending on travel. You close their shop, their cafeteria.
I saw a lot of sponsorships that they had in general as well, like pulled out and don't want to be associated with Chelsea.
Yeah, but some of them are actually standing. Like I saw Trivago was like, no, like we're standing. Yeah. We can't wait for the new deal. They did today. They were filming a commercial. Like, yeah, with Trivago.
We sent those three players. Yeah, as like a
do that. So it's good to see some companies are still saying, you know, like we're standing with them. Like we're not just gonna.
I think Nike was our biggest one that because that was like a 500 plus mil.
Yeah,
like deal.
Yeah,
and that would have just put us absolutely in the mud.
Yeah, no, Nike. That was huge, but it's good seeing that those guys stand up and say like, yeah, like we're still standing by them. We're not just gonna pull away.
But I mean, again, it just doesn't make sense though that they're punishing more so the club than Abramovich at this point because he's not making any money from the club. Mm-hmm. He said from the beginning, any money that I make from this is gonna go to Ukraine Relief Fund, and then the government decided to step in and say, oh no, we're gonna oversee this all, and who knows where that money's gonna go now?
Yeah, no, it's
so. I mean, what does the war have to do with these people's livelihoods that are not working and not making any money because everything's closed within the club?
Well, again, a part of me actually, I don't mean to sound like a conspiracy theorist, and I'll get attacked for saying this, but a part of me just feels like this is to deflect from the UK government being shambolic itself. You know, so they're just trying to make Roman Abramovich right now in Chelsea, like they're taking the headlines. Boris Johnson is terrible. Yeah, and I don't mean to get political again. Political policy, politics and sports don't go hand in hand. But you're literally going to take this guy's money away. It's like me buying a beer, like a pack of beer. Wow. A 6-pack of beer. And then someone taking it from me and saying, no, you know what? You're not allowed to have that anymore. And you're not going to get your money back either. It's like, why?
Yeah.
He, at the end of the day, it's his money he invested in the club. And he was going to donate all the money. Like, it's like,
yeah, and now the league and now the league is going to keep it because they seized it. Now
but what more money does the league need? The league is very comfortable.
Executions is the word I was looking for. 81 executions. But yeah, they're just trying to make an example out of us at this point. Like
that's what it is. Oh, that's what it
feels like every single day. It's something new.
But so you're telling what the message they are sending to me is, since it's another European country that it's happening to, it matters. But if it's not a European country, it's Middle East or whatever, it's not as important.
Well,
so like you're not going to punish Manchester City. You're not going to punish Newcastle. Yeah, I think because
it's in like the spotlight right now. It's like what's the major event going on in the world that like they have to do something, and they're just going to make an example out of him and even more so the club right now. I don't see how any of this is even affecting him anymore.
Yeah.
He's not making any money from the club.
No, it's all being attacked. Like the club's being attacked right now.
Like he was going to sell it. Yeah. They give a deadline by Friday to have bids in. He was never going to keep the money. He was going to, he didn't want his loan back. He was going to give it to Ukraine. But now, like, I feel like the government just made it something even more.
Yeah,
than
they're blowing the whole thing up.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's getting quite ridiculous.
Yeah, and I saw a video today. It was in court. I think it was the chief executive officer. I don't know if it was for Chelsea, but like, so right now, what they're trying to fight for, like in this state, is that basically Chelsea, like the club, they can like they go back to being able to get to like sell tickets again.
Yeah, like operate as a club.
Like sell merchandise, mm-hmm. have money just to travel, and just basically don't punish the team, but find a way just to so he gets punished, not the team.
Well, that's how it should have been.
And now they're trying to figure out that. But now but the judge and they're saying like no, it's you know it's gotta be like you can't have this, and they're trying to fight for it, but they're going really like back and forth right now in the court. And you, honestly, I don't know what's going to come out of the situation. I just hope that Chelsea just don't get like completely ruined after this, because that would be like horrible.
Yeah, our chairman came out, Bruce Buck, and he said that there is like enough funds to complete the season without going into financial ruin.
Yeah.
So that's a positive, but
well, that's good to hear.
You can only get so far with that if we can't sell tickets. Yeah. Like, I don't see what fans not being able to buy tickets, come watch a team, buying a jersey in the store, food at a concession stand.
Well, the game for Leo. How many fans are they going to have there now?
Well, the Leo game tomorrow is fine. That's the last thing that they booked. It was the Middlesbrough game this weekend.
Oh.
Yeah, so we're allocated 4,600 or 4,500 tickets for our fans when they're allocated 30,000 because it's their home stadium.
Yeah, right, I mean, that, so, that makes sense.
Absurd difference. But only 500, 600 tickets were sold before the sanctions.
And they won't sell anymore.
And now we can't sell anymore. So we're just... I mean, Chelsea came out and said they want to play behind closed doors because I think just to kind of put pressure on the government to, you know, kind of relieve some of the restrictions, say, okay, you know what, you can sell some tickets.
Yeah, you can sell some, maybe bring some more fans in.
But Chelsea even came out and said, can we give away the tickets to the fans for free so that we have some supporters there, because we're going to play in front of 30,000 opposing fans. And
compared to 500.
It's a terrible atmosphere, yeah. Especially everything going on. You only have rival fans there. But between that and them, how they're going to get to this game, because yeah. nothing's booked.
Because, yeah, nothing's booked.
And we only have 20,000 to... Which to allocate that's on crazy. Stay and
like,
everything.
How do you you're giving them that, like, you're basically giving them the money to say, here's 20,000, go and fail because you can't get anywhere with this money. It's just a slap in the face. It's so stupid. But
I don't see how this is doing anything to Roman. Like, it doesn't. He's not making any money anymore from the club.
It's nothing to do with Roman now. It's all about the club. It's all about them.
Like, they're finding. They give the green lights for the club to be sold. Yeah. They have bids in. So.
Mm. Well, anything happened, Joe, with that? What was it? The Saudi guy?
Saudi guy.
What was his name?
The Turkish guy.
Yeah.
From last that I learned is he wants to take the government to court, actually, because he was trying to say that, like, the whole ruling and stuff like that, it doesn't make sense. Him and Abramovich are friends, but besides that, it's from, like, a business standpoint. Yeah. And,
no one's associate themselves now with him.
Yeah, yeah. And he was trying to say that, like, you know, what the country's doing, the people shouldn't suffer. Like, the people of the country shouldn't be suffering.
Yeah.
And it's true. It's like you're punishing Abramovich because, okay, yes, there was ties with Putin back then or even more so recently. But like England, Chelsea Football Club have nothing to do with this war.
Yeah,
but then you have the people saying, well, they were funded for the last 19, 20 years from dirty money, which, okay, I understand. But
isn't all money dirty?
But him coming into the league, yeah, that makes you think, if they're finding this all out now, what criteria he had to go through to own a football club.
Yeah. And they didn't know background.
How was
check.
This not known?
Yeah, and at first, it was great for them.
So
and
they
now,
must have looked over it and said, like, okay, you know what, we'll brush it aside. It's something that happened in the past. And look at the amount of money he's brought into the economy, the club, and everything. But now, like I said, because it's under the spotlight, they're acting like it's all new to them. Like, oh, we didn't know all this stuff about him. So, I mean, that just makes you think about what you have to go through to actually own a club. And it feels like he just showed them the money and said, oh, okay, yeah, no problem, buy the club.
Well, that
and
just
didn't
makes
do
you
any
think,
checks on him or anything. So
that makes you think about even the new owners that are coming in, like the Newcastle owners. Like, have they done anything dirty?
Have they checked them at all?
Well, yeah, and it's just like, oh, yeah. And I'm not trying to pick on, like, certain club owners and stuff like that. Like, I welcome money into the game because it makes for a more entertaining thing. But it just goes to show you that these guys could easily be swayed by the money.
Of course, yeah. And now I know that going forward, especially for Chelsea, for the new owners, they're looking at especially like politically sensitive countries.
Yeah.
So anybody coming in from Saudi, like that $2.7 billion bid from the Saudi media group.
Yeah.
And then they have plans to rebuild a stadium. Big focus on the men's and women's teams, the academies.
Yeah, they actually have a good plan.
That'd probably be the most ideal, especially money coming in. Yeah. They have like a network,
especially
of like 1.
Even grow
trillion.
the women's game. Like that's a huge step for any president to like actually want to take.
Apparently, their own entity. They don't have any direct links to the government, but because it's a politically sensitive thing, like I said, especially with what's going on with Roman, I doubt that they're going
to
be looked at.
So seriously. Who's the front runners to try to
right
to
now?
Sign,
it's the Bowley-Wiss consortium, and it just that one. The third guy who came in is a businessman, but he's a Tottenham fan. But I mean, Bowley run is part owner of the Dodgers.
Yeah.
I don't like baseball, but they're probably well run.
Yeah, hell, they're well run.
But it's really the only three major ones in right now is the Bowley consortium, the Saudi media group, and then Nick Candy.
Yeah.
And which for me, the either Saudi, obviously the money.
Yeah. The money.
And
coming
what they
that.
Say they're going to do for the club.
Yeah. I was going to say
that. Did you see that stadium that they want to build?
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
And I'm pretty sure the Prem blocked like Roman trying to build a stadium.
Yeah, they did.
Like 2 years ago, like $1.5 billion, they blocked it. So
maybe you're trying to build a new one.
And now that's one of the key factors in somebody taking over. They're like, oh, like, what about the stadium? Like, we have to like pay for that.
Yeah.
So
do you think they maybe have had it out for Roman for more than like the last couple of years?
Mourinho said it, man. There's,
I think the league, like,
there's an agenda.
You're talking about the league, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like, in general, like, even the media, because I feel like a lot of this is making Roman out to be like,
But I think they just.
He isn't the best guy.
You just never heard it, like, anything about it because there was really never anything to kind of say other than that, like, the fact that he's Russian and, like, has ties with Putin. But he was never, like, did anything bad. He just knew he was the owner of Chelsea and that's about it.
And I mean, people are obviously going to talk bad about him because he has money. And they're yeah. like, oh, look, this guy's buying, buying his success.
Exactly. Yeah. Anybody that has money, there's everyone just downplays because
they worked out for him. He's been one of the most successful owners with the time you think he's taken over. So, you know what I mean? So,
you think he just did it just by getting lucky and just spending his money? He still bought the right guys and he built championship teams, like teams that have
he invested into their youth.
Yeah.
That's something that Chelsea hasn't done.
And you saw it. You saw it in their youth.
Coming to fruition now.
Yeah. Like, never mind what Carragher says. Like, you look at their youth academy and, like, they have like prospects coming out. You look at the guys that have come from there and look how good they are now. Yeah. And how much of a potential they have to get to. Yeah, obviously.
Thank you for Tammy Abraham.
No problem. We'll buy him back soon. if we can.
How with the money you guys have right now.
For solo team.
Obviously, you have to look at like what these guys do with their careers, but in the time being, like you look at these Mason Mount, Tammy, Declan Rice, you look at these guys and like Chalaba. They have great potential.
Oh yeah, 100%. And that goes down to the ownership actually putting the money in to invest.
Yeah.
And to my knowledge, all the players you just mentioned and we mentioned in general were all English players.
Yeah.
Are they not?
Yeah.
So you're now taking. I'm not saying these kids maybe came from like bad experiences or whatever the case is, but you are now taking kids that could potentially, I don't know their history again, off the streets and then giving them a career and giving them a chance to be something greater.
Did Tomori come from there too?
Tomori, yeah.
That's another one. Look at him. Look at the season he's having.
The amount of players that have come from our academy are playing either in the Prem or the Championship or even overseas.
Like they're,
it's
insane.
That's what I mean. Like, how does that just get swept under the rug? Because, again, it goes back to what the Turkish guy said. You can't punish the people in the country because of what's going on in the country. Did you hear about that Ukrainian soccer player? Hold on.
Yarmolenko?
No. Well, I mean, while you're pulling that up.
I may butcher his name when I say it. He's 44 years old.
Joe.
I know, I'm slacking. Timochuk. I don't know him. I don't think I've ever heard of him either. But apparently, Ukraine themselves actually want to strip him of every cap he's ever played for Ukraine, and it's 144. They want to strip him of every title he won, every like single like career accolade he's accomplished to this point, just because he refuses to stop working for Zenit. Because he played for Zenit and then he retired with Zenit.
Yeah.
And now they're trying to punish him and strip him of everything he has.
Because he
refuses to give up his career / his job / his means of income.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. With Zenit. That's crazy.
That's a little too much though.
They're trying to go away. Like, focus on the war. Focus on stopping that. Don't focus on other people that are just living their lives and you just want
to punish
them
because of where they're from. This is what I don't get. They're trying to say that these guys are all promoting the war by not putting a stop to like any ties with Russia or Russian players or this and that. It's like even Artem Zubia. I don't know if I pronounced that right. That big 6'8" guy.
Sounds right.
You know that guy. Even him, he's getting in trouble because he refused to comment on it. He's now like almost being forced into retirement because he just doesn't have a comment for the war.
But you're going to see that a lot now with like even managers are going to start getting questioned heavily on this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like I know in politics, soccer, you know, you don't bring it to sport, but with everything going on, they're going to start hammering with the questions.
Yeah.
The reporters are going to have to ask these questions and they're going to have to be answered.
But it's crazy to me. Like, why? Why do they need to be asked? And I get it.
It's what's going on. It's basically who they work for. Yeah. Like, let's just say like an Eddie Howe. His works for Newcastle. He was asked about the executions and he said, I just want to focus on football. That's not the only question you're going to get. Pep's going to start getting asked questions too. Like, they're going to start asking
these questions. They're kind of like the face of said organization.
And these journalists, that's their job to ask these questions that like everyone wants to know the answer to it or just questions that, you know, they just find interesting. Hey, you know, like what's going on here? And you're like, how am I supposed to know?
Yeah, see,
they just want to get any dirt that they can.
I genuinely will always stick to it. I don't think like it should be involved. Again, unless it is taking a toll on like the athletes itself, then okay, fine.
Yeah,
ask that question. Like if there's Ukrainian players stuck in the war, yes, 100%, then start questioning it. Like the coaches of Shakhtar and whatever, like those guys, they're questioning them, like, what's going on? Blah, blah, blah. Like, that I could understand. But these guys that are overseas that aren't even Ukrainian but or Russian or
what's
whatever.
What's ruining everything, and it's not even just soccer. Like, you notice it in everything, especially nowadays in 2022, cancel culture.
Oh, my
God. Everyone wants to cancel everybody if they're associated with something or if they said something. They want them done. They want their career done.
Yeah.
For what reason? Okay, everyone says something wrong. No one's perfect. Yeah. Everyone makes a mistake. And everyone wants people punished for stuff they've said in the past. Even they'll find stuff that 20 years ago, like I said, or something that they did. Oh yeah, look what they did. Everyone wants them canceled. No one wants to hear about them anymore. And that you see that now in soccer. It's like all this like with stuff happening in Russia. Now they want every Russian that's not in Russia to be punished.
Yeah.
Whether they're famous, a superstar, this, that, they want them punished.
Yeah, I don't really understand. And it's wrong at all. And again, Chelsea is the face of this.
Yeah, and like when we asked for our sanctions to be lifted, somebody from the government came out and said, like, oh, like, they have to be realistic. There's people dying, losing their lives in a war. I understand. I'm sympathetic to it, but...
But what does that have to do with a football club?
What is fans not being able to buy tickets, a jersey from the store?
Yeah.
Are limited on our spend for travel. How is that going to help? Like, what's happening?
When you hear them talk, it sounds like the way they're making it seem, like all that money from the sales, the jerseys, everything, it's going right into his pocket.
Yeah.
But none of it is. So why are they? I don't get why they're making such a big deal of it.
I don't really know. It's just Chelsea's on the front end of it. They're the face of this whole political attack type of thing. It's okay, not so much attack, wrong word to use, but they're the face of it. And the players are the ones that suffer the most.
Yeah, obviously.
You know, like, if I'm playing for Chelsea, it's going to be even hard for a lot of these guys to want to renew because they're the face of
they can't even renew. No.
But you know what I mean? Like hypothetically, even if they were able to renew, mm-hmm. with all this negative publicity around them, would you even want to be associated with that? You know,
could look at it one of two ways. It's either, no, I want to get away from this, or it's like, no, we'll get through this as like a club.
Yeah. But a lot of the players.
You'll get that divide in the players. Yeah, I think coming in the summer, you'll get the players that say like, I want to stay and, you know, I don't care what we go through. Like I want to fight for this club. And some people, you know, like I want to look at my career. Like I don't want to, you know, go through this and ruin a couple years of my career. And they'll want to make that move.
But that's what I mean. Like it's really putting a hinder on them for that reason.
Yeah.
Like
big time.
Azpilicueta renewing or Christensen even.
Yeah. But those two were like, that was before this whole thing. Yeah. That was already.
No, I know, but I just think it could make it their decision that much easier.
Well, yeah. It makes it more for them.
Because it's like, okay, you know what? Yeah. Do I really want my last couple years, like more so for Azpilicueta?
It just sucks. Christensen like came up with us. Like we kind of like grew him into the player he is and we can't make a dollar off of him because he's leaving for free. But Azpilicueta, there's like a clause in his contract that if he hits like a certain amount of caps, within like certain competitions, that we could extend him another year.
Yeah.
So like that's what basically the plan for him is. So him on Barca is like kind of in the air. Even with these stuff going on, we can still kind of extend it. So
I feel like everything depends on just what happens now in this.
Bids end Friday. It's the last day of the deadline.
What do you mean bids end Friday?
The deadline for bids for the club is Friday.
That they're taking bids and
they're bids for the club.
They're listening until Friday.
Sorry.
I don't know how else to say that.
He's speaking English.
Sorry, I just meant like after Friday. No one else is allowed to bid. So like literally
I could put subtitles on the thing if you want after. There's no other way to really explain it. But yeah,
for me, what I'm trying to say is like, what if nobody bid?
No, there is.
I'm saying though, what if?
Then someone's gonna go in with a last minute bid of like $1 and buy the club.
Then we go into administration at the end of the season and we 9-point deduction and
exactly.
Hey, Chelsea Football Club
is crazy.
Next year they'll be called the Blue Lions.
What are we playing?
You're only gonna be available for Pez.
Yeah, exactly.
As London Blue.
I don't know. It's just crazy times, man. Crazy times. I just hope that we do find.
Especially after the season that they had, you wouldn't think that like Chelsea would be going through like something zero, like that. Like,
Champions League Tuchel comes in, changes the whole club.
Hey, listen,
that's really insane.
He's about to be backed in the summer heavily, but Roman and
the Dark Knights.
Now we can't even extend someone's contract.
You either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
Yeah,
I'm getting dirty.
Anyway,
Roman Abramovich is now the villain of it all. That's what I'm trying to say. He was the hero, and now he's the villain.
You brought up the Batman reference because of Rudiger.
Yeah. Wait,
because he's the Batman.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly why I brought it up. Yeah. Not that I thought the line was clever or whatever. Yeah, no, just, yeah,
don't,
for sure.
Don't quote the Batman again.
Chelsea yeah. legend, Rudiger, though.
He is a Chelsea legend. I love Rudiger. King Tony.
King Tony.
All right.
Anyways, other than, dude, have you seen the standings recently for the Prem?
Yeah, Liverpool could take it. What did I tell you before?
Man City is bottling it.
What did I tell you before? Liverpool still is in with a shout.
Yeah, so are that we. So we were one game.
You guys are one game back.
Yeah, 11 points behind.
Yeah, I'll say a little
did
bit.
You say 11 points
yeah,
behind?
Yeah. It's Chelsea
one
with
game at a time, Joe.
Chelsea with 59, Liverpool at 66, and then Man City with 70.
Yeah, see?
Anything
and we have a game to play.
And Chelsea.
Liverpool has two, don't they?
Chelsea and Liverpool both got a game in hand. Game. Arsenal has three games in hand.
Oh, late comeback for the Gunners.
Well, sure.
Eh?
They have one COVID thing in somebody's family member in their club. Tottenham, and they get a game scheduled.
Tottenham has two games in hand. Tottenham's also in eighth place. That's crazy.
Yeah, but I think the bigger one is Everton, all the way fighting for relegation.
I was going to say,
I couldn't really see Everton. I had to kind of scroll down here.
Everton?
That's crazy. Who's their coach right now?
Frank Lampard.
Frank Lampard, man.
But in fairness to him, they signed him, what,
Franke.
3 games ago?
Yeah, but it's his fault ago? Now that they're doing this bad.
Now everyone's pointing the blame on him. Oh, you can't get the best out of your attackers. Calvert-Lewin was firing at the beginning of the season.
Look at what Ancelotti's doing with Real Madrid, and he was there and doing the same thing.
Well, that's
gonna
what
blame
I mean.
Ancelotti?
I think Everton is literally, I think they need to get relegated.
At what point are you going to start, like, you have to blame the club?
I'm a firm believer some teams need to reset.
Yeah.
They need to go down a little bit and just reevaluate themselves.
Like Roma a little bit. Like they need to kind of, you know, get back to like put their feet on the ground and start fresh.
One, my feet can't reach the ground.
Yeah, no, we know that.
So
we figured that out. We figured that out before we started this.
All right. It's perfectly
it's
fine.
It's a normal size coach too, by the way.
It's not normal size. This is made for giants.
He's just
you know how deep it goes?
he's built different.
I give meaning to that saying. So, I mean, I'll take it as a compliment. Thank you guys.
But
wait.
When did Everton get so bad?
I'm still shook. I'm looking at the standing.
I'm shook.
I think Calvert-Lewin and Richarlison are like injured for a bit, and that's when they kind
but of dropped that. Like,
and before they sent Dele Alli and
Van de Beek. But still, I feel like that was.
I feel like Richarlison and Calvert-Lewin with their goal scoring last season and like the season before, I believe it was, kind of covered up for how bad Everton
how bad the actual
is.
Team
exactly.
was.
When, you know once one mean? Of them's out.
It's like kind of like Tottenham and Harry Kane.
Yeah.
He was in firing at the beginning of the season.
And they couldn't
Tottenham
win a game.
Tottenham couldn't win or salvage anything. They were getting heroes out of nowhere. Now, Harry Kane's firing and they look
a
little bit
You also got Son
better.
There, though. No Harry Kane without Son.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, okay, yes.
Best duo
Son,
yes.
Son
is
still,
history.
Yeah. Son is still crazy, man.
They just surpassed Drogba and Lampard. So.
Did they actually?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, but different eras.
Yeah.
I feel like now it's more of a free scoring game, whereas like back then it was like games were close. Minus if you went against Bayern Munich, they decided to just rail everybody.
Bayern, I think, just they have no remorse.
Yeah, they don't feel bad. Poor things.
When we play them in Champions League final, we'll beat them.
This year, you're gonna play them in the Champions League final.
Go with a bank.
No,
yeah, we'll see.
Win back to back Champions League.
If
then we'll
by then, Chelsea will fold us a club.
I was gonna say,
we finish the season.
If they're still a team,
we finish the rest
that we
of
gotta
season.
See. Because if they're not a team by then who knows?
What you guys don't realize is Mourinho has secretly put a bid in for Chelsea with all the money he's made from being fired as a coach.
He's a secret buyer.
He is now slowly submerging his way in there. Why do you think he preferred not to speak that time with Manchester United?
It's true.
For this moment now, he's a time traveler. I know you see it on TikTok, but Mourinho is the original time traveler.
He might be.
I'm telling you. I'm onto something with this.
Speaking about Mourinho, we're going to jump here to Serie A.
Nice little transition.
Wasn't really too crazy this weekend.
Yeah, standard results.
No, Milan, they got the win as they should have. It was a tight game, but...
That's my Serie A team.
They got the win.
Really? Why?
My brother.
Oh, okay.
You got to support the
house. Only team I watch.
You got to support the house, man.
Yeah. I mean, my other brother supports Juve, but...
Yeah, but we don't talk about Juve. They fix stuff.
I mean, we didn't fix the game this weekend. 1-3-1. Great, big result.
Aren't they the only undefeated team?
Yeah, only undefeated in Europe right now. 15 games.
I guess we won't talk about that, though.
15 games. But no, I prefer not to speak. We'll see when the season finishes.
Nah, if they come back and win the league, man... That league's got a full.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they even win the league, if Juve wins the league, this is my bold claim. I will literally get tattooed on my leg. They're saying I will Fino alla fine.
I will bring
tattooed
him.
On right. my leg.
Okay. Say no more.
I feel like
you're going to say written exactly how I have mine around your whole leg.
Yeah. Fine. Deal. Okay. I'll do it. Deal. That's with your left hand. That's bad luck. So see, you just put a curse on your own team. Deal. Not too late.
Or don't put a curse on you.
Ooh.
Damn. Oh, no, Roma's already cursed.
Well, yeah, I was like, we've seen them this weekend. So
okay, Udinese's a good team.
I know they are. for the standings wise, it was a good weekend because Atlanta tied, Roma tied, mm-hmm. Inter tied. Nice. Inter should have lost because them scoring the 93rd minute plus. Did you see what happened during that game?
No,
the call should have been a penalty.
No,
didn't even get looked at. VAR not even a thing.
Again, VAR chooses. They VAR? Choose it. It's not a matter of like, oh yeah, every play is carefully checked. No play is carefully checked.
No.
If they raise enough of a stink, then yeah, sure, they'll check.
So hey, in the Chelsea game, there's a penalty shot that VAR into VAR. So I love VAR.
What was that stat you said earlier before you recorded about Newcastle and Chelsea actually?
Oh, because you said there was no good games on this weekend.
Yeah.
You said United was the biggest game.
Yeah, that was the most entertaining.
That was the biggest game.
Well, I said, Chelsea-Newcastle, because Newcastle's the most accumulated points in 2022.
So yeah, that's a crazy most stat. Informed.
That's a crazy stat. Liverpool and Madrid. I didn't know that. See, I would have never have guessed that, because it's you throw Newcastle.
End of story, you throw Newcastle and Serie A, they're undefeated.
No, that's not true. They lose.
Undefeated. I don't think so.
Maybe the only team that puts up a fight is Juve.
100%. So this was what did not get called against Inter, which should have been a pen.
How should that have been a pen? You can't just show a picture.
I know. I can't find the. I can't find the video. Yeah,
for a video, you can't just show a picture. I can't
find the video. It's not loading. But he went. He didn't even touch the ball. He hit the guy's foot.
Okay, but what's
It was in the box. The guy went to Belotti was going for it. He went to go stick out his foot to get in front of the ball, and he hit Belotti's foot. Didn't touch the ball. And they didn't even look at it.
Listen, to give away a penalty shot that could decide the game within
Joe, it was the 90th it was, minute. That's it wasn't in the crazy. It wasn't in the 90th.
You just said 93rd.
No. So
I thought I heard
Torino,
93rd.
No. Torino went up 1-0. Then that happened. It was in the first half. I think it was like the 30th minute. That happened. No call. And then Inter tied it in the 90th minute at the end of the game.
Oh. Yeah.
So they could have went up 2-0 going into the half.
I think Inter scored in the 93rd.
Yes. That's what he said. Yeah. I heard 93rd, though. I wasn't.
Yeah, no. Yeah, you're not losing it. Yeah. They do it in the last minute. But that's what I'm saying. If they scored in the last minute and that was given the penalty, mm-hmm. it would have been 2-1.
So what are the standings looking game. Like in Italy that you want to make this outrageous claim that Juve could still win the Scudetto?
I'm not saying Juve's going to win.
And it's not outrageous.
I'm just saying. Man, I've seen crazier things happen. So Milan and Napoli both got 29 games. Milan's at 63, Napoli's at 60. Inter's at 28 games. They got a game in hand. They're at 59 points, and we're at 29 games with 56. So we're 3 points behind third place.
That's pretty close.
Inter, and we're not that far off Milan. Obviously, like one step at a time, let's get to third place. Let's get to second place. But realistically, Milan and Inter, because I think Napoli will, but Milan and Inter, they have 2-3 tie games. They lose games. All Juve needs to do is just keep this consistent and keep winning the games they need to be.
Yeah,
because our next hardest game is against Inter.
This is the team that couldn't do well without Ronaldo.
That we couldn't score.
Well, I mean,
and now wait, who's out of Champions League and who's still in? Yeah, we got to play tomorrow. But
I was gonna say you guys play a game daily.
Let's hope one day longer than Ronaldo.
Let's hope we all don't live in a yellow submarine tomorrow and you guys lose. That was a really bad pun. I'm sorry. I just saw Ro put his head down. I apologize.
Yeah. I don't know what to say to that one.
Kind of want
to
kick you off for that one, but let's move past that.
All right. So,
but talking about Champions League, actually, did you watch any of the games today? I know it was the two games today, right? The Benfica Ajax and the Man U Athletic.
Yeah. And it was a Diego Simeone masterclass.
I watched that whole game today, man. That team, that playing style, like if I was a fan, I would get so like aggravated.
I would get fired up.
They were clearing the ball from the 60th minute.
Yeah.
Who does that?
The second half started, it was the 47th guys, minute, and they cleared the ball up the field to nobody.
Clearance is a skill.
I get that. But right. they get a lead and they're like, okay, yeah, we don't want the ball, and they just kick it up the field.
Yeah,
they don't
want it. That's the point. We don't want it. We know we could defend. We know our ability lies in defending and counterattacking.
I feel like
Griezmann was playing right wing back with Marcos Llorente.
Griezmann had an insane game today. Like, one of his probably best this year.
Fired me up.
Yeah.
I love Marcos
Llorente. I think just Ronaldo himself over the years has proved to Atletico why their playing style is very fraught. And like you just attack them, they'll break.
With the right team, you attack it. Yes, it breaks down. Obviously,
yes, I'm saying, but you need to attack it in the right way.
Well, clearly, man, you didn't.
No, because they're not good.
I'm just
they're not a good team.
To me, I would love if my team was able to hold off teams for 90 minutes like that after we got our goal.
But you put
that's amazing.
Put that team against like a team that actually like a Chelsea team without Lukaku on the field. put them at Chelsea. Chelsea will smoke. They did last year. Chelsea smoked them last year.
Okay, yeah. Obviously, his system has its flaws. They're,
big.
100% it has its flaws. But when it's on its day, when they play like they did today.
Atletico?
Yeah.
But even, Joe, even if it's on their day.
As a fan, I would love that. I'm also supporting Roma, who, like, within the first 5 minutes of every game.
Who's even talking about
Roma? No, but I'm just trying to say. I'm just trying to say why. Like, defending, like, that kind of tactic, I love it. I think it's such an underrated tactic, and he gets attacked for it, Simeone, and playing style is ugly. But honestly, man, I wish if my team I supported was able to do that, that'd be crazy.
But see, this is why I feel like when you said that, like me and Julian, we kind of shook our heads, and a guy like you wants that because I feel like a team like Roma is like that level. If your team played like that and you guys can hold a lead and just clear the ball again, you would love that. So if my team play like that, I would hate that.
Are you saying Simeone isn't cut out for a big team then?
No, I mean since the last play United, honestly, they're undefeated.
No.
They won the last three games.
Yeah.
Where he works.
But are you asking like if he went to another team?
Yeah.
I think he would struggle.
Why?
I just think his style, man, it's like Atletico Madrid's that very like gritty team.
Well, that's because they got all the players.
Passion that he has.
But that's because he grew those players into that. He molded the players.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So what club is he gonna go to?
He could go to another team and install that image.
But Joel, it's different because like teams in England, they have like an actual style of play.
What, dump and chase? Tuchel.
No, they do.
Have you ever actually watched a Man United game?
Okay,
but how those guys literally Harry Maguire just bombs the ball down the field, hoping someone latches onto it.
But we already established that Man U's garbage.
Yes, yeah, so, okay.
I'm not sure how he's even
stop comparing Man U.
In England, the only like I will honestly say this again, whatever. To me, it's only Chelsea, Man City, Liverpool. Even Liverpool, I'd argue a little bit about, but Chelsea, Man City.
They have
a clear image that's different from the rest of England. You watch any other team play, it's literally kind of like watching FIFA. It's these long balls. It's not dump and chase, but it's just constant long balls. Jurgen Klopp's men, counterattacking gods.
Yeah.
Switching the play 24/7. Like, don't get me wrong, I guess that is its own style in a way, but it's nothing crazy. It's an extremely high press with a lethal counterattack.
But you watch Simeone's style, man. I think it would fit in Serie A, his style. I think you put him on a half like decent team. I think he would make something work.
Like a Roma.
Yeah, like that. Like you know, like whatever. Like I don't think he has like he has he would still have to work to get to like that bigger like that.
He's Milan, also like a long term coach. He's not like there yeah, for like yeah, 2 years yeah, he's and not yeah there, my image no. is implemented.
But that's boom, also see you that's later. But that's is that that's more of like a Serie A thing too.
Yeah.
Where but, I feel like
we're but that we, they keep the coach for a long time?
No, that they keep the coach for a year and the guy
loses, yeah, I was gonna say, wait, no.
The guy goes and loses one game and then they're like, okay, you're sacked, we're gonna bring in someone else.
Yeah. Didn't Milan get rid of Gianpaolo or Gianpaoli, yeah, whatever his name is, last year for three games?
But that was like a move that you saw change the team instantly.
Yeah, and for the better. It benefited. But that's what I'm saying. Like
they got rid of Gianpaolo, who was a bad coach, and proved that when he was there
with Sampdoria, who was pretty good actually.
Joe, Sampdoria, Milan. Roma, Milan. Like, you're comparing these bottom feeder teams.
I know, but these, I'm, like, I'm just saying.
I don't get
saying,
where you're trying to say.
My theory is, where does every coach, no coach besides Pirlo starts off on this world-class team.
No.
And then continues that. You know what I mean? Like, they start off, like, Pep with Barca, when he came there, it wasn't really the best of times for Barcelona. He built them to that Conte
Joe, look at what coaches, look at Conte's record before Juve, what he did. He brought, like, three teams up from Serie B to Serie A. He had a good thing going. Okay, you know what I mean?
What did Gianpaolo do?
Nothing. He kept Sampdoria in Serie A for 2 years.
That's impressive in itself, but
they were built as, like, a mid-table team. They had already had players. They had Quaglietta. They had these guys on the team.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like they were, like, a relegation team, and then all of a sudden they were a mid-table team. And you're like, wow, this guy's something special. Like, look what he's doing. He was an average coach. Milan jumped at him, realized that, wow, we messed up, got rid of him. They brought in Pioli, and now look what Pioli's done with this club. Does Ibra have a big part in it? For me, I think so. I think Ibra really, like, when he came, he installed a lot of, like, mentality into these young players.
Yeah, that leadership. But they were lacking that, definitely. Yeah,
but you can't take anything away from Pioli, because in the day, he's still the one choosing the lineups, and he's still, you know, seeing what players are fit, what players fit best in his playing style, and he goes with it.
Yeah. Back to the original argument before we strayed to Sampdoria and body and whatever. I think Simeone's tactics are brilliant still.
I don't.
Aside the fact, like, whatever.
I think he's great. I think he's a great coach, but his tactics, I just think his tactics are, like, limited. Like, he limits himself to where he can coach.
That's his flaw. He it's not like he just snaps his fingers and the next thing you know, his team could go on this crazy attacking spree and, like, they know how to turn the screws like that. No, like, that's where I will say he is flawed. Because I feel like it's just, like, absorb pressure, counterattack. Mm-hmm. It's the same
that's all it is. That's all it is.
Even against the lower-end teams, you'll see him do
and
that.
And that's why they struggle. Because those lower-end teams, they see you sitting back. They got nothing to lose. They're going to come at you. They'll get that first goal. Then you're like, okay, now we got to chase. And now we got to score. We got to pop in a goal. And that's why sometimes you'll see them lose against these teams that you never even heard of. Like, what was that team from Elche?
Elche. Elche is going to be my new favorite team. What is it?
Crazy, Joe, this weekend. Got a notification on my phone. Barca actually took the lead for once.
Oh, yeah, they took the lead. They won 4-0.
Yeah, they weren't losing
for once.
They
ran away with it for once.
Well, sure, they bought 15 attackers for Christmas.
Aubameyang and Adama Traore, that's all you need.
I think they only have, like, 3 registered midfielders, but, like, 10 attackers.
Now, do you think Barcelona next season could actually be, like, a force within the league?
Nah, not if Mbappe and Tchouaméni.
Yeah, I think right now... In terms of, like, teams in La Liga, I think Real Madrid's built right now
they're
going to
be
better,
the top 2 teams regardless.
But Barca, Barca, I think, is going to be more set for, like, the third year, fourth year. When the players, they get a little bit more experience, they kind of see who they want to build around, start building, bring in more guys, and then I think Barca will get up.
If you're Barcelona, do you heavily pursue Haaland? Or do you just leave him alone, let him do his thing, let him choose somewhere else?
Honestly,
I don't know, weird spot
because they have so many attackers. They'd have to offload.
As you say, like, obviously, if they offload, like, Aubameyang doesn't sign, because they just got it for a dry loan.
Because they want to sell. Go to Tottenham.
Dembele, I heard he's linked with, like, PSG.
And Chelsea.
Who knows? Adama, did they buy Adama? Barca?
I think it's a loan.
So, I mean, if all those players depart, then 100% I go for him.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
But he has that lingering injury, so who knows how he comes back.
That's a thing that now you have to see if he's going to this gonna be a persistent thing that it's going to keep happening, that every couple months you're going to have this injury.
Well, no, I think he could come back and play at the level he was at. It's just a matter of Dortmund relying on him, right? So, like, the second he's, like, even 70% fit.
Yeah.
They just throw him there because who are they relying on for their goals?
Look how bad they've been with
Donny Mullen.
No, exactly. Wait, who?
Donny Mullen.
Oh, I thought you said Van de Beek. I'm like, wait, what? He's not there.
but he might
be a product of their system, though, Haaland.
Of who?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
We'll see what happens if he ever leaves.
You know what? I think it comes down to. I think this injury. If he's thinking this injury, like, he's like, I want to take another year, then he might stay at Dortmund another year. And if he gets injured again, then I think he might get stuck into, like, that Dortmund.
I guess we just gotta see how he performs.
I mean, personally speaking, I wouldn't mind that. But I would like if a great player like that decided
if Barca, if they bring in a guy like that, okay, they have him. Then you brought in Fernan Torres. I would keep Adama for now.
You got to keep him Dembele at that point. Then if you're running an attack of Torres, Haaland, Dembele,
yeah,
it's the only way you compete with like a yeah, but they're gonna have to make
some money on someone.
Yeah, I'm selling Guzman Dembele personally. Yeah.
He's gonna be a free anyways though. So
oh,
plus isn't
he's a free in the summer?
Isn't the
so they got to sell Frank
isn't,
Young?
Isn't Coutinho going back there too?
Well, Aston Villa could.
I think they have a. I think they have like a thing to buy.
Option. Yeah, I know they have an option. Which I think
they might because he's been.
I mean, they have the money, and if he's doing well enough,
like,
why not?
For Barca, I think like him. Don't like just whatever you can try to sell him because I wouldn't bring him back. You saw whether he can't fit or he just it's not his style. He's a yeah, guy. It's not his style. Then you know, cut your losses, get rid of him for just whatever.
Accept
you can.
Your reality.
That's but Barca's plan do. B for Haaland is Salah. So
see that.
What a plan B. Imagine that.
Yeah, you know, if we can't get him, you know, we'll go for Salah.
We'll just get the best player. But, Prem.
See, I think Barca should be focusing more on like their midfield. I think, hey, go with your youth because look at these guys you're pulling out of your youth. Just go with it. Run with it. But their defense, because who do like their guys are getting older.
I mean, Longley sucks.
Yes.
But they have Araujo.
Yeah, but now
they have one guy.
Yeah, but now Araujo.
No, but
now,
Christensen.
Christensen. Build
on Christensen.
He didn't agree to his first contract proposal now, his extension.
I know that Chelsea is interested in him as well.
Yeah.
don't talk about anything.
Hey, what about Tony Rudiger? He's going on a free somewhere.
Dude, I would love.
If he leaves.
He comes which, back to
I mean,
Roma.
I know that no. a lot of the guys who bid Roma, said that they're going
to. He's a champion, man.
Yeah. He doesn't want to go to a bottom feeder. He wants to go to somebody
who's going to win. He wants to win more. He's hungry for titles.
I just hope he doesn't go to another Prem team if he does
leave. No, I don't think so.
But I know they're going to prioritize like signing him, whoever takes over. I just hope it happens kind of quickly.
What
so
if he goes to Liverpool?
No, I can't.
He wants to be coached by another German coach.
No. Him and see, Christensen said he's going to respect Chelsea and he's not going to listen to any offers from other Premier
clubs. Him and Kai Havertz go to Liverpool? The German boys, the Klopp? Mink, yeah.
I'm telling you. They like the life.
I think it'd probably be PSG.
No, I could.
No, I feel see, like I was gonna Liverpool, say I see Rudiger going to thing. So like if he leaves, Madrid. If he leaves, yeah.
I can see him going to Madrid.
PSG though, they're not in the best of states either right now.
No,
from like all the reports and whatever with Nasser Al Khelaifi, like the fans now rejecting him for trying to get him to resign. Booing Messi.
Yeah, after I seen that, so then booing.
I'm sorry,
booing
how do you
Messi
boo Messi
and booing Neymar?
It's the same fans that were flooded the airport for his arrival.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. The same fans that were preaching about how they're going to do this and that.
Yeah,
like I'm sorry.
Are you really going to blame the guy?
No, this is a downfall. This summer's a downfall of that team.
Oh,
I think Barca is going to try to bring.
Did you watch the team play
and Neymar?
Like, did you not watch that game?
The best player is Verratti, the best Italian midfielder ever.
Yeah.
Not ever, but yeah, no, one of the best.
Who's better than him? And I don't want to hear Pirlo.
No.
Who's better than Verratti?
I'm not going to... Rossi? I prefer not to speak.
Because who's, speak, just say... I won't even argue.
He has to be, he I just want to hear in, your, he has to be in that say. Conversation.
He is in the conversation, but I wouldn't say he
okay,
is
okay, so I just tell me who's
best.
Better than... I'm not going to argue it. I just want to hear your choice.
Better than Verratti. That's Italian.
Yes. Better Italian midfielder than Verratti.
Pirlo.
What can Pirlo do that Verratti couldn't?
No, they could do the exact same things. It's just one has won a World Cup, so it's more sentimental and lives more
you
with
can't really
me
base
then.
It on
oh,
off a World
come
Cup.
Wow, dude.
And the fact that he could put the ball wherever he wants. His vision is better. His shooting is better as well. Have you ever seen Verratti take a shot? Answer that question.
But his defending is way better.
Yes,
and
but,
his passing,
but that's not,
I mean, I would say his passing is
passing,
the same
though,
as
I'd probably say that. I'd say equal. Same with the dribbling.
Insane.
The dribbling, I would say, like, the fact that they can't be dispossessed, that would probably be the same. Yes, Verratti, I would say, is niftier
okay,
than
Pirlo's shooting is probably the only thing he takes over.
I mean, that's... We're comparing every stat, not stat, like,
but
attribute.
But pace, I'm taking Verratti. Defending, no. I'm taking Verratti. Pirlo's fast. I'm fast.
No.
No, Pirlo.
But he didn't need to run.
He's
like
Jorginho.
In his position, you didn't
no,
need
Pirlo,
to run.
Pirlo just like, Pirlo looked faster than Jorginho. Like, Pirlo, it just looked sometimes like he was just like floating. Like, he wasn't fast. But
he
just looked
because the refs are
yeah, Jorginho. The refs walking past him, and you just see Jorginho just
sprinting.
He's sprinting full on. The refs just walking past him. You're like,
poor
wow, Jorginho's slow.
I feel bad for that guy.
But hell of a player, man.
Yeah, hey, and actually might be going to Juve.
Yeah.
That'd be insane. He's one of those players that doesn't want to be
know,
around
I'm
the controversy.
With that. No, but hey, I'm fine with that because I feel like we milked him out of the best that he'll ever play in
yeah.
his life.
Yeah. You got some
after
of his best years of it. Like, look
at
the season
at
he had.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, he is replaceable. We could replace him with
100%
he's with a Gallagher. You know what I mean? Like, we have guys who can come into the club. So, well, like, I'm fine with getting rid of him.
He is, like we talked about this last week, I think he is replaceable. He's not a guy like we're going to miss big time. But I think that, like, there will be a void at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Because
the way he controls Joel. She has passed the Kai last week.
No, don't get me wrong. Again, his vision and his overall composure in the midfield is going to be deeply missed. But again, I feel like that's one of those things that you could replace very quickly. Like Kovacic. I honestly think Kovacic could replace Jorginho.
Oh, yeah. Kovacic is
incredible. Seamlessly. Yeah. And nobody will realize it or give the credit to Kovacic at first, because I feel like his tenure at Chelsea has been, like, everyone's kind of just shit on him at first. And, like, nobody really gave him any credit. And yeah, he said he was this Modric flop and this and that. Ooh. And whatever.
Wait, who's this?
Kovacic.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, I feel like
he's been so underrated.
That's what I mean. Like, I feel like he's really just flown under the radar. And, like, everyone's saying, who's next? Who's next? Yeah. Oh, Jorginho's leaving. What are we going to do? Kovacic. I think he honestly slides into that role so perfectly. Now, does he have the composure of Jorginho? I don't know.
That's the thing that you have to see with time. With him playing,
you have N'Golo Kante beside you.
Exactly. That's what I mean.
Do you really need to be composed? Like
any a team that N'Golo Kante is, like, you're safe. You're around him. You're the midfielder.
He'd be the hardest
defense,
player for Chelsea to replace.
Yeah, he's gonna
but
be a
I feel
loss.
Like Gallagher. The amount that Gallagher runs, that he could be.
Kante is another one that he's just built. The guy doesn't get
obviously
tired.
He's not replaceable, but
his,
like,
feet
if
can't
I
touch
am,
the ground either.
Who?
Kante. I could guarantee it.
But yeah, if I'm trying to replace him with anybody, it's got to be Gallagher. How? Yeah. Look,
wait,
his
you're replacing?
Rate.
Oh, Kante for Gallagher.
Yeah.
Oh,
and you guys already own Gallagher.
Yeah.
Right?
He even said when he was interviewed, like, early on the season, about, like, potentially signing with Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
He said, "I'm not for sale this summer. Like, I want to go back to Chelsea."
Yeah. That's actually something that's really nice.
Himself.
That, like, the young kids want to stay loyal to like their club team, and that's something you don't see a lot of. Like,
and
nowadays.
Tuchel said he has plans for him, so he's gonna bring him back.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's
if we have a club.
Well, I guess hopefully you guys don't turn into London Blue or the Blue Lions.
We're gonna lose rights to our own team.
Stamford Bridge is just gonna be called Metal Bridge or something. Like, it just everything's going.
I
to
hope
shambles.
Something happens quick, man. I think that's what they're trying to really push, though. Is like more of a quick sale rather than what's better for the club. It's more of like okay, let's get this over.
Yeah, they just want to get it over and done with, and then hopefully it pans out. That's the thing, though. Who do you prefer? I feel like we're jumping from topic to topic here, but
it's
kind of just going through some of the transfers and stuff right now.
Exactly. You know, how do you live?
Who do I prefer? I prefer the Boley Consortium. That would be the third. If I'm choosing out of the three, I mean, obviously I'm going to take Saudi. The plans they have for the club, plus the money they could invest into the team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, how could you say no?
For the great, I was going to say, future-wise, I feel like that would probably be your best bet. If they stay true to
the guy who owns Saudi Media Group is like $500 billion richer than City's owner. So, I mean, what kind of transfer do we have?
Yeah, but wait, is he richer than Newcastle's owner?
Yeah, he is richer than both. Yeah, he's richer
and
than both.
First,
oh my God.
First
he's $1.4 trillion. His company turns $700 billion a year.
I kind of don't want this thing to happen, man.
Yeah, no.
If this thing goes, Chelsea could be scary, man.
Yeah, if we get, but like I said, it's a politically sensitive owner.
Yeah.
So
I feel like they're gonna be a lot more careful.
I said that they're a long way off. Yeah. So, but I mean, Nick Candy would also be good, though. He's been a Chelsea fan since he was a kid.
Yeah.
And he actually came out the
other
day.
Who's Nick Candy? I'm sorry.
Like, he's a property development.
I feel like I should know
guy,
the
him
name.
And his brother, property developers.
Yeah.
Like, just they're based out of the UK.
Okay.
So he's actually received a lot of, like, other investors have reached out to him. Because they want to get on board with him.
Is that where one of those? I think there's a Swiss guy.
No, that's the Hans.
That's
Hans Jörg Wiss is with Boley.
Okay. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
So
okay.
Him,
okay.
Hans
okay.
Jörg and another the Tottenham
oh,
fan
I thought,
guy.
Okay.
Which you're probably gonna try to run a.
Why would a Tottenham fan? I was gonna say, why would he want? That's literally just him wanting to sabotage.
Yeah, 100%. But they're leading the race. Something. But no, Nick Candy, I think would be good because he has other investors trying to come in on it because they think it's really good that he's based out of the UK and they can have somebody like, on the
ground. Yeah, someone
there.
That's there.
Yeah,
and
he came out the other day saying that if like the club needed any short term funding, that he'd be happy to help. Like he said, he loves the club. He's been a fan since he was four. His dad was asked to play for the club. So I think somebody who cares about the club, he'd be the best option because he even said that he'd throw a representative of the fan on the board.
Oh, that's good.
That'd be pretty crazy.
Yeah, yeah, but that fan apparently would be heavily against the Super League. So it'd be like a 50-50.
I used to be against the Super League. Now I'm all for the Super League.
Yeah.
With this format, so with this whole format that's going on with Champions League, when is it next year?
Which one?
Or the year afterwards?
Champions League?
Yeah, they want to, I think they want to start that next year or something like
that. Yeah, that's
but
that's absurd.
But wait, go back to the Chelsea.
Yeah, sorry, one second. My bad.
Just, and I also know one thing for the sale though, that they're wanting to, they open like the books because we have an enormous wage bill,
mm-hmm.
and like they want to make sure that they know and they're not blindsided by anything.
Yeah.
So they want somebody who can take it over quickly and also make sure that everybody's getting paid on time and what they were already getting paid.
So yeah, essentially,
there's no fishy things.
So essentially, right now, sorry, just to like kind of iron it out.
Yeah.
The club is for sale.
Yeah.
But Roman Abramovich isn't getting any of the money.
No. So the Rain Group in the U.S. is overseeing the sale. The government.
Rain Group.
They're called the Rain Group. It's a bank in.
Okay.
So they're dealing with the sale of the club. The government said that they're not going to step in on it. That they are going to leave it to the Rain Group, but the approval has to obviously go through.
Yeah, the government has
the government and the Prem and all that stuff.
So are these bids like, are these numbers that are being thrown at the club, they're just bids? They're not like, oh yeah, we, like the Rain Group's not coming out and saying, hey, we think the club is worth $2.5 billion. This is what you need.
Well, Roman, I think, wanted like three or something, and that these are all the offers are going to be over two. So I think the Boehly one was 2.5, the Saudi media was 2.7, I think. Nick Candy is, I don't know if he's officially bid yet, but it's going
to
be around 2.5.
He just wants to give them
more. And it has to be an all cash offer.
All cash?
Yeah.
Wow.
And
that is,
those are like two key things. It's all cash and highest offer.
What, do they avoid the taxes
or something? So when are they looking pretty, like, I know that you said that on Friday they're going to, like, that's the last day for the bid. So when are they looking to actually try to, like,
I think they said that they'll find a new owner within 4 to 6 weeks, but it'll take a couple months for it to be, like, official.
Cause but you'll know.
The club is.
Yeah, I know, obviously.
So yeah, it's they said 4 to 6, by the end of the month, essentially, they said
that you'll
there
know
should if, be a new owner announced. Yeah. Okay. Hopefully.
Well, that's good. At least you, like, if the fans will know what's happening and who's going to be in charge of their club.
Exactly, yeah.
So, I just want to go back to this whole cash thing. What?
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
Why? I genuinely, why
I'm
cash?
I'm not sure about that one. I'm not sure.
That sounds so fishy. What, does Boris Johnson want to go on some riverboat gambling trips with cash? like what's that about?
I have no idea with that.
That one I have no idea.
I feel like that is the most unprofessional way of paying, but yet you want your one of the biggest clubs in England, if not the biggest club.
Yeah, but maybe they don't get taxed on it. It's like instead of getting 2.5, you're getting like 1 point something.
Yeah, okay, but
yeah, I don't know if that's works,
not really business. That's not really a professional business-like thing, though.
Oi, bro, give me 2.5.
Yeah, like
no tax.
Like, who's running this? Are the Sidemen in on this deal? Like, are they the ones doing it? Like, what's going on?
This whole deal is just, there's so much.
They
like,
want
stuff
to say
that
Roman Abramovich was corrupt and he was the one, the problems and this business deals and this
so
and
much,
that.
There's so
what
much more
that?
Corruption
they
than
want
Roman.
Cash.
There's so
cash only
much
and more. highest offer is going to be like two key points.
That's crazy.
Yeah, no, there's so much more corruption that's going to like that came out and it's going to come.
Oh yeah, and then you're going to see something in the news coming out afterwards that like all the cash that was given, they don't know where that went.
No, yeah,
it's disappeared. Yeah. Did they even give the?
Yeah,
cash?
We have to pay off a couple of things now.
Yeah,
and there's no more money left. So Chelsea's going to fold to be the blue boys,
just like the guys that bought Milan, but they had no cash.
Yeah, no. Oh, sorry, we got no more money.
Yeah,
or Steve with Inter. He's like, we got so much money. We're going to put so much money. Then, sorry, guys, the government won't
and
let me spend any money.
I wonder why these clubs go through that dark time.
Yeah, no wonder. Look at the guys who they sell it to.
You know, Julian,
look,
I feel bad for you guys. No, you guys.
I'm not thinking about it all. And it honestly even sucks because, like, Marina, who's been working with Roman, our director.
I used to think that was his wife. I'm going to be completely honest with you.
No,
she's
been working with him,
that.
Like, since before he bought Chelsea.
Yeah.
So she might leave now, too. But Nick Candy met with her and the chairman the other day privately.
Yeah.
Whether that be saying, hey, any short-term funding, I'll pay. I'll help. I'll give you guys money type
That's
of thing.
Good.
Yeah.
Or, hey, if I win the bid, then, like, I do want you guys to stay. Because now they're saying that, like, them, him, Bruce Buck, Marina, and Cech are most likely on their way out once a new owner comes in.
Well, I feel like Nick Candy, if he he says he's a big supporter and whatever. Marina's been Roman's right hand man, so she basically knows the club.
I think I think she stays if Nick.
I was gonna say, I feel like he probably did mention the short term funding too.
Yeah.
But he also probably said, "I want you to."
She'd be a big loss.
Yeah, he'd probably try to convince.
I feel like she's convinced everyone loss. To come to your team.
Yeah, Koundé was basically done. Now we're gonna be with no center backs next season.
Yeah, who knows who's gonna come now? Yeah. Joe, how we doing with time?
Time wise, hold on. Wow, time flies. Really does.
Are we about that time now?
It's about that time.
We're gonna wrap things up.
We're gonna wrap things up right now. I'm just basically Amato's parrot.
Yeah, no, I don't know why he's repeating everything I'm saying, but I'm repeating everything he's saying. All right, guys, this was a great episode. This is our first episode with our guest Julian.
First special guest.
Yeah, it was a big episode today.
Thanks for coming, Julian.
Thanks, Julian.
Is the button working?
No, the button's not working. No,
Joe, you can hit the button.
Can I press the button?
You can hit the button for him. Thanks, Julian. Love that. But I think it was we covered a lot of Chelsea stuff today.
I feel like that was the main point of this whole thing, right?
Yeah, no. To go more in depth with everything that's going on with Chelsea now and the sale. And next week we are probably going to jump a little bit more into Serie A.
Yeah,
with our friend Alessandro.
Slow things down a bit.
Yeah. make it go a snail's pace.
Go into a couple things that I might talk about the Super League, mentioned it today. Go a little bit into that.
I don't want to hear that with Sano.
But no, yeah, no, we're definitely going to talk about that. But no, other than that, if you guys haven't done already, follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. And YouTube now. We're on YouTube. We got our first video up.
You could see my legs.
Ultras 11. You can definitely see them now. I'm definitely going to put that in the video.
Yeah, you can.
Follow us on there. Subscribe to us. Thank you guys for listening. Hope you guys enjoyed it. We'll see you next time.
See you later, guys.
And that Rooney goal was enough for the 3 points. Manchester City are still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero! I swear you'll never see anything like this ever again. So watch it, drink it in. Just heard the news at the Stadium of Light. Two goals in added time for Manchester City to snatch the title away from Manchester United. Stupendous!
The greatest moment I've seen in Premier League football.